The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like $1 million,
scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Celebrity Book Club.
Who's that knocking at the door? It's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone, and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill. It's Hollywood. It's books. It's gossip. I'm shook. It's memoirs. It's martinis. It's Studio 54. It's Fellini. Celebrity Book Club. Come read it while it's hot. Celebrity Book Club. Tell your secrets. We won't talk. Celebrity Book Club. No boys are allowed. Celebrity Book Club. Say it loud and proud. Celebrity Book Club.
Buzz me in. I've got the Cuervo.
Ooh, I love that. I really liked that a lot.
Hey, best friend.
So what you just heard was a journey through spoken word, which is an ancient art form that we have been practicing for many years.
Is it Asian?
Ancient.
I was like, I don't think it's Asian.
It's deeply human.
Yeah, it's just a human art form. I would say, which we really bonded over, not to bring it up again, but
high school. We would go to
one of the most famous spoken word places in the nation.
It's called Cantab Lounge. It's in Central Square in Cambridge.
RIP, rest in power, it is now closed.
And we would just go see performances there. I mean, it was, you know, you didn't have to have a fake to get in.
The top, you needed to be 21 to drink, but the bottom, you could be 18.
And so Which we weren't.
Yes, we did use fakes on every Wednesday.
Yes.
They had a spoken word night hosted by this woman named Simone. And she kind of, she was small and talks there, like this.
It's funny because the name Simone is like one of the sort of like
big jokes in our...
Well, it's a big joke in our relationship. I feel like before Simone became this kind of like metonym, is that the right word? For like a kind of just like a girl you're not that close with, whose birthday party you have to go to.
All the time.
And who's constantly having like a going away drinks, like for her PhD or whatever. Simone, growing up to me, was the most like jazzy name. It was so trombone. And I was just like, well, also maybe because it rhymes with trombone, but I was like,
but also Simone
is so jazzy. Yeah, Simone.
It sounds
it's kind of
like a woman
it's
at the end of the bar. Simone.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to sing tonight, baby? Go see Simone at the end of the bar. Yeah,
exactly.
And then this Simone who hosted the poetry night was neither of those things and was just like super nerdy, super Cambridge.
Yeah.
In that way where you're like,
where
you're
she's
artsy, 5'2",
and...
super high voice. Yeah. And so we always thought, okay, this is just a hilarious poetry night that we stumbled upon and we became obsessed with spoken word. But I later learned from one of my cleaning gigs, there was a random man there doing IT and his name was like Zorb. And it came up that he did spoken word, and I started telling him, I was like, oh, I used to go to this place like Cantab, and he was like, oh, of course, Cantab, Simone.
Wait, you were cleaning where? And
Sanger's.
Oh, okay. Your client, and he was doing IT for this just like rich
fabulous
woman's Upper East Side
rich
apartment.
Woman. Yes. And he was
the
like.
The fact that an apartment needs its own IT specialist is interesting.
I mean, I think it's very that thing if you're rich and just like she needed her password changed instead of being right. Like some moms who will just be like calling their children, just being like, I'm on the Apple and the Apple ID and I'm going to have to go to the Genius Bar. Like right. She's not going to the Genius Bar. So she just has this
she's
guy.
She's calling Zorb.
Zorb to set up the modem. And he was like very Cambridge Altman's way where he was like, black t-shirt, SoComp USA, frizzy ponytail, name was Zorb, and told me that he did spoken word. And I'm like, dad, at you doing spoken word.
And that's
I feel
his outlet.
Like,
that's his.
Yeah. That's and it turns out that the Cantab Lounge night that we, you know, our formative years, that's like
that was
a known.
A special space for him as well. It's kind of a hub for spoken word
hub.
Around the country. Even.
Yes. You know, in New York, you have the New Eurekan.
Poets Cafe in the East Village.
And then in Boston, you got
you
Wednesday
got
nights at Cantab.
Wow. And we saw some iconic performances there. There was a girl who we always quote. Who, there was a poem about someone had died of heroin, I believe. Yeah. And she had Move tattooed on her wrist. And so a big portion of her performance was holding up her wrist and going, Move.
Because she goes, and I had to move.
And she incorporated the word move like into her poem a lot.
We saw that originally on like Def Poetry Jam.
And then we saw her in real life do the same piece.
Yes.
And then we also had a huge poetry awakening because of a CD that my brother found at the bottom of a lake.
This is where it all began.
Which is called The United States of Poetry. And that is an incredible piece that I encourage everyone to seek out. Friend of the Pod Physical Therapy has sampled a lot of those tracks on his techno songs appropriation much.
Wow. Yeah. It was like produced by PBS.
It's basically just a compilation. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that concept.
So, you know, and yes, it has, you know, your Allen Ginsbergs on it, but also all these iconic 90s spoken word people.
Such as Beth Lissick, who we then became in love with and obsessed with, who is a
come on
writer.
The pod, Beth Lissick.
And then I had her on my show once, and that was such an iconic moment for me when she did Talkle. Very funny San Francisco-based writer.
She was kind of part of the Sister Spit scene, which was this totally 90s.
Feminist,
anarchist, writers, poets. You know, they
collective.
Toured around in a van.
And Michelle T is in Sister Spit.
She's like the head of Sister Spit.
Okay, she's Mama Spit.
Yeah, she's Mama Spit. And Beth Lissick was like kind of the only like straight one, I think, in Sister Spit. Which is probably why we like gravitated towards her also.
Because we're cheesy straight girls.
Yes. And anyway, Beth Lissick has so many amazing poetry books, but also that funny memoir, too, to promote her book, where she, like, tries all those self-help things.
She has two memoirs. There's Everybody in the Pool, which is, like, just essays.
Yeah.
And then there's...
it's like how
that's it.
Yeah. Anyway, we're obsessed with this one. It's how I help helping myself.
A year of helping myself or something. But she draws all these like self-help methods over the course of a year. Hilarity ensues, shall we say.
There's also just so many iconic, I feel like, people on that album. I feel like you can find it on YouTube.
For sure. United States of Poetry.
Poetry, buy it.
Go seek it out. Support your local Sam Goody. Go get the CD.
I feel like that CD and the spoken word, it's like, yes, I was into Joan Rivers and Lily Tomlin and, you know, Rosie O'Donnell, you know, Kathy Grimm, but I feel like that's kind of what got me into being like, wait, I do want to be on stage. I do want to be performing. Like, maybe I do want to be a spoken word poet. But then that just transitioned to comedy. But
yeah,
it's well, backed something in us.
It's backed something in me. I remember, like, performing once at Cantab. Oh, but that was when we were in college. Mm-hmm. And that was this track, which I do want to play for you. Wait, I actually pulled it up. I'm just going to play it.
Pull up the track. And I'll say it now. The reason why we're talking about all this poetry is because today we are talking about singer-songwriter Jewel's book of poetry, which is called A Knight Without Armor, Poems, Jewel. And this came out really, I think, in her heyday. 98. So, all right, now we're going to listen.
I made this track like 9 years ago. It is a spoken word piece.
America is a whore, whore, whore. I heard that tonight and I've heard it before, and I can't help but think that there's something wrong with this equivalency. When I think of America, I think of America, Ferreira. The real woman whose curves brought Ugly Betty to 5 seasons of acceptable ratings. The real woman whose interpretation of sisterhood led a generation of girls to believe that one pair of pants could fit 4 women of different body types. Has our America sacrificed her body so wholly to the altar of capitalist pursuit that she can understand the exchange of power known only to society's most discarded individuals? Because when I think of a whore, I think of the woman in the window in Amsterdam, who would lock eyes with me as I drove home on my bike that I purchased from a junkie on a bridge on Prinsengracht. The whore with her lined face, the whore with her hair that defied the dull red light of her window with its brilliance. The whore with her leg casually draped across the wooden leg of her IKEA chair. And when I drove home on my junkie's bike, when her eyes met mine, they were searching. Searching for desire, searching for desperation, searching for money to pay the rent on her own window, hoping in vain that I were heterosexual. And when I saw America Ferreira on the corner of West 4th, when she stared at me from the cover of W Magazine, plum-colored lipstick in a dress she'd never imagined she'd wear, and hair she never imagined would shine so brilliant. When her eyes met mine, they weren't searching for anything more than tacit approval.
Wow, may I? But first, hold on. Classic.
Please snap.
Please snap. If you don't know, that's kind of the poet audience way to approve.
Right, because it is a quieter art form, so you don't want to overwhelm.
No, I wouldn't want to clap. Wow, that was insane. I mean, what's so crazy is I feel like it is this perfect balance of obviously, like, you're roasting the spoken word art form and, like, you know what to do and you know to talk about, like, whores and junkies. But at the same time, I can also tell that, like, you do earnestly want to be like...
Oh, it is very real.
Yeah, yeah, you're like, it is very real. But you do want to be like, yeah, I am in Amsterdam. I did buy a bike from a junkie. How badass is that?
Of course, I'm still being so study abroad.
No, and you're saying, as I ride in Amsterdam.
And I'm talking about magazines and I'm still being so adbusters and like, fuck capitalism.
And just being like, Westford, this is also kind of you coming into your adbusters phase.
I mean, my adbusters phase started in middle school and it's never stopped.
I feel like your adbusters phase started in like way later. Not to offend.
I feel like I've always been so adbusters. No, because I remember when our like middle school art teacher, remember that lesbian like...
Char. Wait, no, that's my high school lesbian art teacher.
Miss Fernando.
Oh, my...
we were kind of in a
thing. Yeah. She like gave me rides to school in her Jetta, so...
That's grooming.
She was like RISD grad.
Jetta is grooming.
Jetta, no. I know, it's insane how like parents of lesbian children or awesome people of masculine experience. If your child is going for a ride to school with a femme with a pixie cut in a Jetta.
Something's wrong. Something's up. All right.
Anyway, I wish something happened, but.
And yeah, you soaked those Jetta seats.
Flooded.
That was.
When did you make that, Steven?
That's a really good question. I want to say that I made that in like 2011 or something. So maybe that was about 10 years ago. So maybe I was about 24.
Because when you played it, I was like...
Oh, that's my piano.
I was like, I know I've heard this before.
Yeah, you
what
did.
What was it for?
Daniel, again, friend
it
of the
was
pod.
DJ was DJ stuff?
It was DJ stuff. He was doing some weird mix compilation thing and wanted like a spoken word piece for it. And I was like, I have heard this piece that I already wrote like for fun once.
Yeah, you
I'm going to set it to music and put some effects on it. And
sick.
Yeah, get a little weird with it. But... In terms of Adbusters.
Yeah, I guess I just think of you in high school. So Mark Jacobs and I was going to my Adbusters high school.
I mean,
and you were sketched by the Adbusters.
Okay, but that's the thing about being Adbusters is that does not preclude not being Mark Jacobs. Like, you can
be Mark Jacobs and Adbusters at the same time.
Yeah, the whole point of being Adbusters is that you're just being like, think about the fucking world for a second and like how it's advertising to you and just like question everything. But you're also like still shopping. Like,
no, I know. I guess we were roasting that because it's like the people I was surrounded by were so Adbusters and we're just like, hey, I don't know if you've heard of this magazine. It's called Adbusters. It's like basically Is Life, and like so many people with their Ella Bean backpacks had pins in the Nike symbol that said slavery underneath. You were, that's what I'm saying.
Well,
it's like,
but that's, I've never been that because I've always like drawn a distinct line between like reading Adbusters and being like, I'm going to make art that's like critical, and then being so like,
I guess I'm saying, were you, did you know what Adbusters was in high school?
That's what I'm saying, is that Miss Fernando told us what Adbusters was.
This art assignment now.
You remember the art assignment that was transform a book?
Yes.
And I took an atlas because huge gay nerd obsessed with atlases. And I remember, like,
well, can you sing the song? Because the first time Steve and I hung out, you sang me your Capitals of Southeast Asia song.
I'm not going to sing that for you right now.
It's too nerd. That's actually too far, too personal. And I'm sorry I brought that up. Okay.
I mean, that's a beautiful song, and I've sung it for people, and I will sing it. And it goes like Thimphu, Kathmandu, Dhaka, Islamabad, New Delhi, Rangoon, Bangkok, Phnom Penh, Vientiane, Hanoi. And it goes on. But the point is, and I actually once performed that at camp, at the All Camp Talent Show.
The way I can manipulate you.
I mean, yes, I love atlases, but I do remember in that we had to transform like a book. And so I was just like on like one of the Africa map pages.
Wow. Wow. You transformed Africa to something.
Already saying wow. I had like pictures of just like big cats.
Okay.
And then I had like, I put black glitter on it and then bars over it because I was trying to say like zoos are bad.
Oh, okay. And fabulous. I was
like, they glorify the imprisonment of animals. So like that was, the black glitter was supposed to be like, it's glamorous, but like evil.
Why is our podcast so heavily anti-poacher?
I know.
Like, it's like, okay, our main activism. Okay, I guess we are so, when people are on Twitter are just like, white people, why do you care more about the killing of elephants?
Cut to us, and we're just like chaining ourselves to like
save
some reserve.
The cats. Wait, I have an insane, I know we have to get to this book of poetry, but I have an insane reserve story for you.
Lay it on me.
Okay. I was in the Hamptons, again, cancel me, not to brag, and I passed by this bench on a dock on kind of some gorgeous swamp
was it,
land.
Did it have such a little plaque and it was dedicated?
So it had two plaques and it said, Vincent...
Bench not be dedicated challenge, okay, by the way. Every fucking bench lately is fucking dedicated to
Well,
someone.
Do you know what the cost of building a bench? Someone has to pay for it.
Right,
you're going
to
dedicate
like
it.
Fund. Yeah.
So it was two plaques of a man with the same name, and it was a junior and a senior.
Oh,
father, son. So I look, also the dates, you see they died the same day.
No.
Googled it. Father, son, Hampton socialite on a safari in Namibia. Zebra ran into their car.
Shut.
Car turned over. Tour guide survived and the mother survived.
No way.
Yes.
Oh my
so
God.
So she fled to her native Austria to recover.
Of course.
Of course.
Wow. I wonder if, like, maybe this would be so Shania Twain if she actually fell in love with the tour guide,
yes,
like, as a way to heal because they both survived the accident. That's really sad.
Yeah, isn't that really sad? Not to buzzkill.
No, I know. Maybe one person survives a car accident, one doesn't. Like,
well, two, but yeah, the family member.
Yeah, the surviving person in a car accident, like, that's such
your
a
husband,
drama.
And it was like her birthday trip or something like that.
Oh, God. And you know, you think zebras, right? I mean, they're the ones you don't have to worry about.
You don't think they're charging.
No.
Well, that's something it calls into question tourism, right? And
no,
so far.
Absolutely. And at buzzers, and it does raise the question, like, should we even be there? Like in the game preserve, and this is their natural habitat. And so, like, what do you expect? Like, you play with fire and you're gonna get burned.
Not saying not to victim blame, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
okay, we should talk about this Jewel book of poetry.
So, Jewel.
Jewel.
Famous singer.
Who will save your soul? And it comes to me.
I remember buying the CD that track is on at Newbery Comics in Harvard Square.
Hell yes.
And being like, I'm kind of into this chick, Jewel, and I'm going to like go to her back catalog because that album came out in like 98 or something, right?
By the time you bought it, it was back catalog.
I bought it in like high school. I was just like, let me get into Jewel for a minute.
Hell yeah. Support women.
Yeah.
Now, of course, my sister was so Lilith Fair and had like purchased that, I feel like, when it came out.
And you, I mean, yeah, you had like every Ani DiFranco,
the Ani, the Sarah McLachlan, the Jewel. Well, but I was very paranoid about squirrels. I should write, because my grandmother had put me in this fear that all squirrels have rabies, and I was terrified of squirrels, and sometimes I wouldn't leave the house if I thought some squirrels were outside.
Really?
Yes. I had a deep... I thought I was going to get instant rabies.
Huh. But that's because you trusted your Nona.
Yeah, no, trust in my Nona. Nona is always right.
Right. I mean, squirrels are everywhere, babe. Like...
Well, that's one thing, and... Yeah, so it I had to finally get over it, because I was like, well, squirrels be literally everywhere.
I'm not just going
to
be staying indoors all day.
No, I had to get out there.
Because your dad was always so like, shut your shade.
He's very shut your shades. He was such an inside man.
He thinks that you have probably had a series of stalkers over your career.
No, I think once he said women shouldn't drive alone at night, I mean, he was always like, are you going out in a group?
Yeah. And you were like, my friend Steven is with me. I'm safe.
Yeah. And then he'd be like, oh, God, the hyphen.
So you were exposed to Jewel.
I was exposed to Jewel. Another flash memory, high school, actually post kind of Who Will Save Your Soul, probably more when you bought that album, because she came out with some pop songs when we were.
Wait, OK, I feel like we maybe talked about this already on the pod. But remember when her album 0304 came out and someone, maybe it was even my dad, was just like, oh, so she's doing the pop thing now. And I remember thinking like, oh, so this is someone who's like kind of shifting their image to like fit what
the fuck again, Adbusters, capitalism,
what the market wants and like what the market is interested in. And I was like seeing an artist kind of like change their style to comport to whatever the contemporary trends were.
Insane that you bring that up. Because,
and not necessarily being judgmental, but just like, you know.
Because I had another interaction with a middle-aged man, this being a stranger, not your father said it in a much more intellectual way, but
I mean,
this
I think
is
he was
another.
Also maybe just like, she looks pretty good to me.
Well, so yeah, it's like this guy, I was at like Stamacket or something, and she was like on the cover of Rolling Stone, and I think just a little, I'm sure just maybe a bikini top, little denim skirt. I'm definitely in high school, and this guy just goes to me, looks like a fucking slut, am I right?
And you were just like, I guess. I don't know.
So men were noticing. And
yeah.
To just get right into the poetry, I think this is something that Jewel has really dealt with, as in just...
Right. Being perceived.
Being perceived. The eye of a man.
Right.
Rape.
Rape. Yeah, so our listeners know. So this is, again, it's a book of poetry. Highly recommend. Most of the poems are just one page. A couple go over to two. It deals with womanhood,
puberty, sex.
Puberty, Alaska.
Yes.
Obviously, so she's from Alaska, one of the freak states, as we know. And she, she's weird.
Well, she famously lived in her car for a few years before coming famous.
Was it a car? I always picture it kind of like a VW bus.
I know. I feel like I have visions of her in a VW bus, but also visions of her in this,
because
like,
that's so
92
yeah.
Corolla.
I mean, I wish it were 92 Corolla.
And it's stuffed with stuff.
But also, I do feel like Alaska is a little bit like VW bus, because it's like, it takes a while for things to get up there, so they are kind of more 60s.
Right there. So, you know, we'll have someone fact check that.
Yeah, we'll get our research assistant on
But just
that.
To get into one of these poems that is really about womanhood and, you know, and I think she just started writing lyrics in the car.
Yeah.
And that's what came, these beautiful songs that hit the market right at 98, you know, in this little fair time. So I'm about to read from a poem called I Look at Young Girls Now. And here's it. We were doing all the spoken word stuff, but I don't think her stuff is so...
Well, I mean, I think you can read it pretty spoken word, though.
I can. I'm just saying, like, I feel like she's being a little more... And if she was to read it, it'd be a little more, like, present-day girl at a poetry reading.
It would be present-day girl at a poetry reading. And let me just say something about present-day girls at poetry reading, where I'm just like, bitch, speak up.
Yeah, seriously.
The quietest bitches on earth are, like, getting together at these Bushwick basements and just being like...
No, because everyone is like, oh, like, spoken word is embarrassing now. They're like, so we're going to do the opposite and act like we've never read a book before.
Right. I'm just like,
I need some
volume. I need some energy, please.
Okay. I look at young girls now in their tight crush velour, skin tight, sky blue, hip huggers with the baby doll tank tops. And I think I've been there. God, have I been there. Now, since this is a poetry book, I think it'd be fun if we kind of really talked about each stanza.
Oh my God, I love that terminology.
Okay, I mean, seeing this outfit, could it be more LEI? Tight crush velour, skin tight, baby blue hip huggers with the baby doll tank tops.
Everything is baby.
Yeah, it's, no, I. That's why everyone was like, everyone, I guess, in 98 was like, yes, Jewel be this like Lilith Fair. And then she became so baby doll at LEI.
That was the moment. And of course, now we're back in this moment where everyone is also now doing this like low rise and spaghetti straps.
No,
and,
I know.
Which is a rediscovering of like the Amanda Bynes aesthetic.
Every outfit described in this is like being dropped now at like ASOS.
And your like sister style is coming back in fashion because she's always just wearing like a really no, tight little tank top.
Yeah, and it's like she's stayed. My sister has stayed at this
2002 moment.
Style, and now it's coming back. And I feel like she doesn't even know.
Okay, wait. This poem is so my America Ferrera poem. Okay. It's called "Pretty." There is a pretty girl on the face of the magazine, and all I can see are my dirty hands turning the page. Just being like, she's perfect and airbrushed.
Yes, she's this perfect girl.
Oh, unattainable beauty standards. And who am I? Just a dirty Alaskan troll.
I mean, I don't think Jewel felt pretty in her VW bug in Alaska.
Right.
But clearly she is like horny. In this early poem, "The Bony Ribs of Adam," I left the bony ribs of Adam for the fruit of my own personal desire. Biblical stuff. Its scent still heavy upon my flesh, my absence still thorn in his side. But now how my belly hollows and aches, craving seed.
Damn.
Sorry, to crave seed.
Literally me on Pride weekend. Opens Grindr.
Craving. Can you change that to your bio? Craving seed.
Craving seed. I mean, that's a lot of people's bio. Celebrity
Book Club. This episode is sponsored by ZocDoc.
You're trying to find a cause for your symptoms.
Achy back, headache, runny nose, itchy eye, wart on my genitals.
So let me guess, you stumble down a TikTok rabbit hole full of questionable advice from so-called experts.
Suddenly I have cancer? No thank you.
There are better ways to get the answers you want and the care you deserve from trusted professionals and not random people on the internet. Though randoms, I love you, and my TikTok addiction, yeah, it stands.
But I'm sorry, Lily, you shouldn't be getting medical advice from some girl in her grandmother's basement in Toronto.
ZocDoc helps you find expert doctors and medical professionals that specialize in the care you need and deliver the type of experience you want.
That's right. Ditch the talk, get the doc. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun.
No more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor you haven't met yet.
I love a trusted guide, like the time I climbed to Machu Picchu on the Inca Trail with a team of Sherpas. Millions of people use ZocDoc's free app to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient-reviewed and fits their needs and schedule just right. So find your Sherpa at ZocDoc.com. Go to ZocDoc.com/bookclub and download the ZocDoc app for free.
Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Slay. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/bookclub. ZocDoc.com/bookclub.
Ditch the talk.
What's also insane about craving seed is her feeling it in her stomach. I just feel like when I'm horny, I'm not like...
Her actually like hungry boots?
Yeah. Well, but actually though, because I feel like when I'm full, I'm not that horny. So it's like, maybe I am.
Yeah, that's such a weird quirk about you. You're not horny when you're full of just like 18 subs.
I'm just correcting myself that it's like, I guess she is right. Because at first I was like, are you really feeling that? And your belly aching for a seat?
I mean, I think she's using belly in the kind of like metaphor sense of like the part of you that is hunger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas like it's not the actual like food stomach portion.
Totally.
Where it's like, you know, when you say soul or when you say heart, you know, you're not talking about the actual blood pumping factory. You're talking about this fucking Hollywood notion. I do. Okay. Some of the, I'm like into some of the poems.
No, they're, that's, okay, I think this book is people are like, oh, that's so ridiculous. Jewel is a poetry book.
Okay, hold on.
Read on.
This one. This poem is called Austin, Texas, Sheraton Hotel, 2 a.m. His empty vodka tonic stand like rotted tree trunks, emptied of their core. They are on the table where my altar rests, sharing space with my sacred things, my rocks and reminders of home. Should I fear you?
Okay, we need to come up with a poetry book.
Yeah.
I'm reminded by reading this book, we're like, oh, like, I think, again, sometimes people assume because, you know, we're comedians, we're podcasters, that we like poetry because it's a joke. And whenever I say, you know, oh, I love spoken word and, you know, we do the impressions.
Well,
yes.
All jokes are real.
All jokes are real. But like writing a poem about like the Sheraton.
Mm-hmm.
And dead.
Just the vodka. Well, OK, here's the thing about poetry. Like, it's pretty easy.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm just so like this. Like,
it's just line breaks.
Words.
Like,
yeah.
The what makes it not, it's like it doesn't have to like follow any of the rules of like prose or just like being compelling or interesting or making sense or like being factual or being funny, because it's like it literally can just be any words you want. You just like throw in some line break. It's just a scramble, and like where you choose to make the line breaks is like so brave and bold. And it's like, wow, you like just put the word vodka on one line. Like that
then
makes it really meaningful.
Vodka.
You just put fear on one line. I mean, some of them are a little bit more like stories about Alaska.
Yes.
And like those, like, did you read this one, Crazy Cow?
No, read it to me.
Shane came back in from evening feed and said, Crazy Cow was missing. Dad finally finished whatever he was eating and casually said, she's probably calving. We all knew the odds of finding the cow in 80 acres of wooded pasture at night were slim, but still we pulled on our boots and coats and headed out with flashlights into the frozen night. It was Shane, I think, who found the calf tangled up in a snowbank, half alive. Dad picked it up in one swoop and looked over his shoulder at the cow. Stupid cow, he said. Stupid cow, the three of us chimed, trying not to act amazed. On the way back to the cabin, the calf quit breathing. We ran the rest of the way to the front porch, the cold air piercing my lungs and freezing the little hairs in my nostrils. Orders were given. Build up the fire, rub the calf's limbs, get the blood going. On the rough wood floor of that one-room cabin, I watched Dad lean down and wrap his mouth around the calf's tiny pink nose, fill its lungs, and then repeat. His big hands handled the tiny animal expertly, the same hands I feared now seemed more powerful and merciful than God's. The Chinese lantern above us threw a warm glow across the room. The calf came too, coughing and spitting. My brothers and I stupid with giddy emotion. That night I took a mattress off my bed and laid it on the floor between Atsley and me. We all watched the calf sleep and took turns to make sure it was still breathing. And all night we dreamt of all the impossible things we would do when we grew up.
Wow. I'm breathless.
Right? Aren't you kind of breathless? I was like,
this is okay. When you say poetry is easy, not everyone can write that.
It's an economy of language. You know, you take out what shouldn't be there. And also, you know, copywriting is the same way, sweetheart. Leave only what is necessary.
Yes, very necessary.
Yeah.
Salt and pepper.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm kind
of more... Hip-hop reference.
I'm kind of more into, like, John Mayer and, like, Britney Spears. Like, I only know pop.
Right. And, you know, hip-hop is poetry.
Yes.
But with that, I mean, when you have those repetitions, what was it? Cow.
Stupid cow. It makes you think like, oh, what does stupid cow mean, right? Like, is it, you know, and then you start to get into the sort of the feminist undertones and the body image.
Well,
and the reference to the father, you're like, oh, so the father beat her. But it's like super, you know, it's that much more powerful because it's almost mentioned in passing.
I want to say she was, her mother left and she was raised by her father, and she's so girl who grew up in Alaska with like five brothers and just like, oh, sorry, me, I have grass stains on my knee.
Yeah, tomboy vibes.
Yeah, tomboy. I have five brothers and a dad. This is all I know.
Okay, I guess it's just like Jewel's thing is being, you know, a singer-songwriter.
Very singer-songwriter. Like,
which means that you are sensitive and you're a little bit, you know...
It's really about the lyrics.
Mysterious. We think coffee shop, right? We think guitar in the back. We think like songs, poems and songs in your pocket. You know, we think living out of your car, which she did. And she did all this stuff. And I guess it's like in some ways, you know, Alaska gives her legitimacy.
Have you ever been to Alaska?
So I never been. I have absolutely no desire to go.
Really?
Well, I mean, I'm a travelist. I guess I do want to go, but...
I would love to go to Alaska.
It's so lesbian of you. I mean, it's just like, it's such a lesbian career assassination. And like, obviously, people love to be cold.
No, obviously my girlfriend, when we went to Key West, she went to Alaska, which I think perfectly kind of describes our skin temperatures.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And she was like, oh, I got hot in Alaska.
She was sweating.
She was literally sweating in Alaska. But it sounds, you know, you're seeing whales everywhere. You're seeing moose, the landscape, you know, it's eels. It's fishing villages.
But it's so
It's very depressed.
And it's very depressed.
Very working class.
Yeah, very Catholic.
Eel hunter. I don't think it's that it's Catholic.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's like there's something really sad about it.
I'm not saying it's my first destination, but I'm saying like, you know, bucket list, sure.
I mean, to see the sunrise over Denali, right? Who doesn't want that?
Who doesn't want to go salmon fishing in Anchorage?
No, and who doesn't want to just like, you know, spend a couple weeks like living in a condo in Wasilla. Yeah.
I hear real estate is actually really hard to come by in downtown Anchorage. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, stuff doesn't come up a lot. Okay, I want to read another very of the time poem. Okay. As you said, coffee shop, and this is literally called coffee shop. Young girls wrap themselves tightly in bright smiles and denim. No more patent leather and pigtails here. So we have a change in the fashion. This is actually the reverse of Jewel. It's like in with the Wrangler jeans, out with this 80s, you know, early 90s patent leather shoes. They suck on coffee with great indifference. Their young thighs, weapons they have cocked, hardly comprehending the potency which lies in suggestion. Tight, dark, dark blue Wrangler jeans. And lonely smiles like latent prophecies. Now, she married a rodeo star.
Okay, so I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Are they still together?
No, she's a single mother now. And I read something like over COVID, like how is Jewel like raising her two kids like Lakesum and like Latham? And her and the rodeo star, I think, were married for a while, and it was like the kids, like because of COVID, haven't seen their dad, like Darren something something.
So she's like, I'm a cowgirl. I married a rodeo guy.
Yes. Because I think she went pop, but she is a down-home cowgirl.
And now she's being so Sheryl Crow and just like, I'm raising Wyatt on my own and this is my truth. And I've got my guitar and I've got my home recording studio.
Absolutely.
And I've got my horses and I'm happy.
And we take the kids outside and we do, you know, learning stuff outside.
And she's living just like in...
Like she's in Alaska?
No.
Or like Austin, maybe.
I think she's in Austin.
The life of marrying a rodeo star. Do you know that Garth Brooks song, Rodeo?
No.
It's that damn old rodeo. And it's about this woman being like, I hope he comes home. And if he comes home for a night, he's got to leave.
Right. It's like, no, I mean, it's like being married to a fucking cop or
a sailor or
a service member. And, you know, you don't know if they're going to survive the night. It's such a dangerous position.
I would say even more than being married to a cop, though. Being married to a rodeo star is a bigger risk than being married to a cop because they're always on the hunt. It's always about that prize money.
Right.
So they're going to Fort Worth. They're going up, you know, Dallas.
Amarillo.
Lubbock, by morning.
El Paso.
Fort Worth. You're on the circuit and you're chasing this, you know, a surprise.
Yeah. And so anything could happen on the road. Anything could happen on any different bull anywhere. I mean, it's a lot. And I could imagine that put a strain on her marriage.
I think so. I just love
the
way. Do
you think he was also maybe like intimidated by a successful woman? No.
Oh, intimidated by, well, they probably were both powerful in their own arenas.
Right.
But do you think he wanted to be the rodeo star to come home to his little lady? It probably took a little bit of the sweat off his brow that it wasn't some...
Right, that he didn't have to be the breadwinner.
Down home Debbie Dallas being like, when are you coming home, Jim?
Yeah, because she was just like, I'm
touring.
Touring or whatever.
Maybe it was just both their schedules in Hollywood. It's really hard.
No, and you actually really have to make time, and like a relationship requires work. And like,
seriously.
That's why whenever my husband's on set, like we make sure to fly, even if it's around the world. Like, I will
We
never do 2 weeks apart. And like, if that means renting a hotel room in London for 2 days, like that means renting a hotel room. And like, we will do it. And like, that's just something that is so critical to us. And that's why we're still together. 17 years later, my name is Kelly Ripa.
And Mark Consuelos and I have a very exciting sex life. We make love 7 to 9 times a week.
And it is extremely passionate, and we always switch it up because you gotta keep it spicy if you're in a long-term marriage.
Not to not talk about Jewel and talk about Kelly Ripa for a second, but what time do you think Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos have sex? Do you think it's after Live with Kelly? She wakes up probably at 4 a.m. or 3.
She's waking up at like 2:30 a.m. Yeah.
It's those schedules.
She's going to bed at 8 p.m. Like, I think they're having sex.
At noon.
Yeah. When she gets home, the kids are at school. She's done taping.
Yeah.
They have sex. Then she gets in a quick workout.
Totally. I think she does her workout before. She probably does two. She does one.
I'm sure
like
she's souring 18 times a day.
Yeah. She's like, I do Pilates at 3:30 a.m. And then I do a HIIT workout at 12:30.
Yeah, you get in a quick 25-minute HIIT. yeah, and then they're having, like, amazing 13-minute sex.
Mm. How do they do it?
And then just, like, having a couple mangoes afterwards.
Feeding each other mangoes.
Kelly Ripa's so mangoes after sex. okay, this is poetry book.
No, I mean, let's talk about some more poems. Oh, wait, there's a poem called Lovers for Lily.
Oh, wait, I saw that.
Okay.
Well, wait, let's see if it's about your lovers.
Okay. Boys with faces like calm puddles begging to be messied up, stirred, aroused, delivers themselves to her doorstep. Messy hair, morning mouth. Okay, already this is about me because my hair can get totally messy while I sleep.
Right.
Because it's thick.
Just so you.
Just so me. And when I wake up, a lot of the times I have tons of dried blood on my two front teeth.
Right.
Sorry, do I scare you with my sexuality?
Wait, you have dried blood because
I sometimes
you're
wake
eating
up,
out your girlfriend on her period?
No, I think it's just like, I'm a mouth breather, so I'm like, I don't know what's going on with my gums and I need to go to the dentist. I know you just got a root canal, but I'll wake up with dried blood in my front two teeth and it more actually...
No, Lily, that's not okay. That's not normal.
That actually more stops me from meeting my girlfriend out on her period.
This is why I always say you have a colonial mouth. Like, you need to get that checked out. Waking up with dried blood on your teeth is not just like, yeah, that's my thing. You shouldn't be bleeding that much.
I know. It doesn't happen all the time. Just sometimes. More winter.
Right. Your gums get super dry. And they're actually bleeding to self-lubricate.
Yeah. And then my girlfriend is like, please go take care of that.
Oh, God.
No, I'm going to go to the dentist. I promise.
You got to get to 10.
See, I really got to 10. Sponsored by 10.
This episode is sponsored by 10. Not your grandfather's dentist.
I have that Irish mouth DNA that just means like teeth are fucked up. I had.
Right.
I had there, about.
There's lace curtain Irish and there's bleeding gums Irish. You're the latter.
Or double tooth Irish. Because as a kid, I had about 10 teeth pulled and one of them was a double tooth.
Not your shark ass.
Yeah, just full shark.
A double tooth?
Double tooth,
like
yeah.
It was two vine for the same spot?
It was that corner, you know, your kind of fang tooth. And then in the back, there was a whole nother tooth connected. Siamese teeth.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Crazy. I just can't bite.
Bite. Okay, this poem is really about us. It's called Red Roof in Boston.
Wait, it's literally about us?
Wait, do you know? I feel like she's talking about that Red Roof in that's like on 128.
Well, I know, because all Red Roof Inns are...
on a highway. I miss you miserably, dear, and I can't quite manage to face this unbearably large bed alone.
Ooh.
It's just an ad for, like, the king-size beds at Red Roof Inn.
Our beds are huge at Red Roof Inn.
I find myself avoiding sleep, busying myself with menial chores, so I pick up my guitar, stare at books with bleary eyes, get restless, then shave my armpits with your razor and cheap hotel soap. So I guess that's just like when your lover like went out to like his job or whatever and you're just like in the hotel.
Yeah, let's really break this down. It could be about a few things here. Is she on tour or something and staying at a Red Roof Inn? And she's like weirdly brought his razor to the hotel. Is she staying with her lover?
Oh, because her lover's back home.
Yes. And she's like packed up, like the way you like pack up your boyfriend's tea. Or are they kind of this down and out couple like staying there and he's like working the late night oil rig in Boston and she's using his razor.
The thing about the amount of oil that is trapped beneath Boston Harbor is it's pretty low, and so the Exxon hasn't really built any rigs
maybe
there yet.
He's doing the rodeo show at the Garden or something like that.
Well, but I was wondering if maybe she was like just dating this guy she's on tour with and it's like he's like the manager or some sort of like sound person and he has to go like to the venue first.
Oh, so he's just hitting he's up like, the Orpheum earlier.
He's getting to the Orpheum earlier. And she's like, oh, I can't bear to be in this bed while you're at the Orpheum, my friend. Because it's like they just crave each other's bodies so much.
Also, okay, her first album was huge. But the Red Roof Inn, I mean, what is
no,
that?
No, if you're staying at the Red Roof Inn, like...
That's what I'm saying. That must be an older poem where maybe she's more playing Club Passim, which is the famous... folk cafe.
Because you're like Jewel in her heyday, like would have been, they would have put her up at the Four Seasons or like at least a Hilton.
I'm saying, yeah, if she was playing at the Garden and the Orpheum on the big, like after Who Will Save Your Soul, really
she's not at the Red Roof Inn like on 128. Yeah.
Right, no, but if she, that's what I'm saying. If she was like doing the cafes in Boston, because Boston was a very big place for folk in the 60s, 70s.
Right.
Because in the beginning, Dylan, Joan Baez.
Really? Oh, I mean, as you know, my parents saw Bonnie Raitt at a bar in New Hampshire in the 70s.
Get out of town.
Aren't you so jealous? That's like
so
one of the only
jealous.
Times I've been like fully jealous of my parents. Like, that would be so cool.
Did they buy tickets or they're like...
No, it was like...
They just popped. They ducked in.
Ducked in.
Epic.
I know. Beyond epic.
So before we go into segments, there's a poem that's, again, literally about us.
I'm listening.
It's called Couple Sitting on Bench.
Okay. Spirit, because we literally were talking about benches. Okay,
no, it was like we already talked about benches, one. He's the skinny one of the two. He reminds her of it constantly. He's a very funny guy that way. Ha ha, as she wobbles to walk. Wobbles to walk. Okay, I don't think I'm that fat.
Wow, okay. Yeah. I mean, you said it, not me. I mean, you kind of offered yourself up as the penguin.
I'm just saying, I do have a sturdy lesbian walk.
Sure,
and you
got
are
a sturdy gait.
And you are the skinnier one
and
of us.
And he always reminds her of it.
No, and I don't think you are not a body shamer. I really don't.
No, I'm
think
a
you
body
the,
celebrator.
Yes. Hell yes. Celebrate bodies.
And I just learned from this account I follow, the Curvy Fashionista, that July is Fat Liberation Month. So I'm celebrating all of my partners.
Huh. I guess I think of myself as, you know, I mean, Joel gets into body image. And again, I am trying to lose 10 pounds. Ideally 15, but I'll just start with 10.
Sure.
Yeah.
Set attainable goals, I think, is a great thing.
Yeah, I feel identify more as sturdy.
Right, you've never identified. Well, I mean, I do feel like fat is a more of a femme kind of word. In the sense that it is, like, in the positive, like, body positivity movement sense.
Right.
Like, fat is kind of, like, more used in a femme positive sense.
Yeah, I guess I don't consider myself fat.
Right, no.
No, no.
Right.
Yeah. And nothing wrong if you do consider yourself.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
But it is that thing when you go to doctors and, you know, like, doctors think obese is, like, a totally different thing than what we think of as obese.
Right.
And I had this doctor be like, you're not that obese.
Right.
And I was like, bitch.
Yeah, doctors are weird.
Yeah, doctors are weird. And that's the thing, as, you know, people born with female identified parts like me and Jewel, men have this eye on you.
Right.
Whether, you know, they're gazing at, wait, did you see that poem that was
are
like.
Are you saying a female doctor has never called you that obese?
No, I mean, like, I had that Russian doctor in Ridgewood. She didn't weigh me. They were like, we don't have scales.
I know, this bitch is from fucking Berserkistan or whatever.
I did. She, that's a country. Kyrgyzstan. No, Kyrgyzstan. Okay. Whatever. And she did not weigh me. She just kind of felt around my back. And then she was just like, you need to lose 20 pounds.
Okay, so she did like a quick, just kind of like a, I'm at the supermarket, let me see.
Feel, yeah.
Let me see how ripe these avocados are.
And I was like, ugh, I know. I was like, I need to go to the gym. She goes, don't pay for gym. Go walk Juniper Park, walk in circles.
I mean, listen, she's not wrong. They have amazing exercise equipment out there. But
yeah.
I do find that working out in an air-conditioned setting can be a little bit more inspiring.
Right. But again, Adbusters, I like that she's like, don't give your money to Planet Fitness.
Oh, yeah, fuck that.
Go to our public parks.
No, and Blink does support, like, child war. And
absolutely.
Whatever. I'm sure they're pro-poaching over there.
Did you read that poem where she talks about this father and son, like, staring at her? And she's like, they're bonding over, like, them checking me out?
No, but this comes back to the theme about how my dad was sort of intimated to me that he thought Jewel was hot.
Right, and were you...
Around the time of her rebrand.
Here's my question. Did your dad kind of, you think, always know? Or was the time where he was like, son, that's a good-looking ticket over there?
I think that he was commenting on the fact that he maybe hadn't noticed Jewel before, and then he was looking at her hot little outfit and her straightened hair and was just like, okay, daddy-like. I don't know. Maybe in some way he was telling me, like, hey, like, step it up, bitch.
Right. He was telling you to, like, wear more baby doll tank tops from Urban.
Yeah. And kind of, like, slut it up a bit.
And you have stepped it up. You're in a crop top right now.
No, I'm like, so, and I literally self-cropped this Carhartt tee because I'm, yes, bitch.
Yes.
Like, I contain multitudes.
Get a pair of scissors and all of a sudden you're a fashion designer.
And just, like, I'm taking something that's traditionally mask, a Carhartt tee, and I'm turning into this like gay femme, coded,
yes.
High femme,
super high femme, high-waisted, high femme. I mean, I remember this is again, I mean, Jewel is really bringing back to her time of 98. I was wearing these totally goofy boxers, goofy as in the character. And because I feel like that was such a girl, like Jewel-esque style to like wear boxers and like a tee.
Okay, I know this is Jewel. This is just like any teen girls wearing Disney pajamas or like Disney boxers.
That's, and it's of that time, 98 or whatever, like late 90s. It's like to wear a total guy's boxer and a thing. And I wore these like boxers. And then I feel like my sister told me to wear the boxers, but then also was like, here's the thing. If you wear boxers, it's going to make guys think of bed.
I mean, that's true.
Which is true. So, word. Good fashion tip. I mean, that...
So, yeah, then they'll get really sleepy when they look at you.
I know. And she meant, like, oh, they're going to get so horny. And, like, beware, because, like, guys will get too horny if you're, like, being 13 wearing goofy boxers to CBS.
Yeah.
And maybe, yeah, I was making mad men horny with me wearing goofy boxers.
No, yeah. Every man on the street in Porter Square was just, like, showing... as you walked home with your secret sub. Vinegar dripping down your maw.
This is a segment. How does she live?
What does she wear?
What does she
eat?
Okay, what did she eat? Drawing a blank here.
Truly, like, I think traditionally, like, maybe she does eat some, like, Alaskan squirrel.
Bitch, I mean, the Alaskan diet is so, like, okay, trout, nuts, just, like, juniper.
Salmon,
like, what are y'all foraging?
I think they eat jerky, smoked salmon. So she's doing salmon, and I think she's transferred kind of the salmon lifestyle to just probably being more L.A., and celeb and like salmon salad.
I mean, we've decided she lives in Austin. That may be fully not true. Yeah. But if that is indeed the case, like, yeah, she probably is liking some Tex-Mex. Like, she's doing tacos.
She's probably more like nopales. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, she's getting that cactus or whatever?
Yeah.
She's like,
I could see her maybe being, because she's a horse girl, maybe being vegan.
Okay. This is what I was going to ask you. Is she actually vegan? There's something about her. I almost think she's like pre-vegan in this way.
Oh, she's paleo.
Not. I feel like she has no like specific diet thing where like, because when she was coming of age, like only Moby was vegan. And it's like, it wasn't this thing where like vegan was, I mean, like in terms of celebrities, like, so it was like not such a thing and such a trend.
Yeah.
And I feel like because she's not like, she's anti-trend. She's from Alaska. Right.
She's
like,
also married
to an outsider.
Bull was married to like a famous bull rider.
If you're
a
rodeo rider, you're not vegan, you know?
I feel like she is eating steak.
Yeah. But probably like once a month.
Once every few
months.
And
most of the time it's just like classic
celebrity
salmon salad.
I mean, maybe she's like, yeah, like I have a really good elk recipe.
That. Her mom did not teach her because her mom departed. But
and she was the one, because I bet she had to cook for her five brothers.
For her five hungry brothers.
And she knows how to cook big and like, elk stews.
And she makes something really weird. She's like, I'm making a milk pie or like something.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, this is passed down through my Alaskan family. And yeah. It's like milk, cornmeal, elk, ground bison, poblano peppers.
Right, and that's the sort of Tex-Mex influences she's bringing from her time living in Austin over the past 20 years.
Us making up this full Alaskan Tex-Mex cuisine. I'm opening up a fusion Alaskan Tex-Mex restaurant.
And it's called like El Salmon.
Okay.
There's a line out the door. And there's like jerky tea on the menu and everyone's like, trust me, you have to try their jerky tea. It's weird, but it's amazing.
Really good. And then it's Bloody Mary's also with jerky as
stirs. No, and it's like, and they're doing like a BBQ pit and an igloo in the back. It's like reverse grilling or something. No, and the flash chilling of the igloo actually like makes the bison like that much more
tender. It's so cold, it's hot. Yeah. You can braise it in a certain way when it goes into an igloo.
Okay, what does she wear?
I mean, I think she still is in, like, Wranglers, and she puts, and, like, I'm imagining her putting these Wranglers
and a spaghetti strap, like, crop top.
Yeah, and she's like, I've had these jeans for 25 years, and it's this amazing crafted belt.
I do feel like, though, if and when Jewel has some appearance, like, mm-hmm. she's going to Good Morning America, she's doing, like, some just, like, Reese Witherspoon's peacock cooking 8-minute show.
Yes, no.
And, like, she's on this whatever, just, like, sad peacock Zoom with Reese Witherspoon. Right. Like,
not the sad peacock Witherspoon Zoom.
The Wither Zoom. And then, like, she's in, like, I feel like they're styling her in just, like, the widest belt. Like, some weird kind of, like, kerchief silk top that, like,
she's
doesn't
very
look good.
Silk.
Yeah, I think she's, like, a kerchief silk, like, tucked in top with this, like, wide red belt. And, like, she feels kind of awkward in it. And then they're like, no, put the blazer on. The blazer is good. Wear the blazer, Joel. Wear the blazer. And she's just like, okay, y'all, like, I'm putting this blazer. And she's not loving
sorry,
it.
Sorry, I have to stop you there. I don't even think she's putting on the blazer on the Wither Zoom. I think it's silk, and I think it's a belt. And I'm just, stopping you at
and
blazer.
She's bare-armed?
Yep, bare-armed.
I hope so, for her sake.
And I think at a Grammy appearance when, like, she has a new album that we're like, oh, random, Jewel came out with an album. I think it's, again, I do think it is a baby blue silk dress.
The way that she is so associated with baby blue on my mind is actually insane. That is her color.
It's truly her color. And she must have just worn it a lot, and it's just, like, printed in our minds that,
like,
she's in Baby
But I can
Blue.
Remember the album cover of the Who Will Save Your Soul album, and like there is Baby Blue on it somewhere. The oath, the her sexy pop album cover, the whole color
Baby
of
Blue.
It is Baby Blue.
And I want to say in that iconic video where her and Jessica Simpson duet on Who Will Save Your Soul, it's like literally the funniest video on the internet.
It's hilarious. No, definitely watch it, then talk to your coworkers about it at the water cooler.
Where they're duetting and like Jewel is like literally so sketched by Jessica. Right. It's like, wow, you're going all the way off.
She's in a Baby Blue top.
I want to say she's in a Baby Blue top. Yeah.
I want to say that too.
Okay.
Okay, how does she live?
How does she live?
The Austin single mom ranch.
So I feel like that she has like a VW bug on the ranch in this way. That, like,
but she only drives around the property.
Yeah, it's to drive around. And I think she has chickens, and I bet she has a ton of animals and goats. And like, she doesn't want her son to grow up, and that's why they live in Austin in our minds, because she doesn't want to grow up in this, you know. Oh, wait a second. She lives in Nashville, I bet.
Oh,
because it's just music stuff.
Whatever.
A little bit different, because I think it's actually just a little bit closer to...
I mean, it's closer to whatever, like, the heart of the music industry, but
right,
like...
Right, but same difference. And she's like, no, he needs to learn how to get up at 5, and, like, feed the goats, like I did.
But I feel like she's being so, like, fake chores about it, where the kid is, like, giving one bottle to one goat, and then, like, the actual
no,
like, groundskeeper
yeah.
is doing the rest of the chores.
Oh, for sure. Like, he's not getting, like, spanked if he missed his goat feedings.
And it's not like her upbringing in Alaska, where they're, like,
goats
traipsing out in the middle of the night trying to find this, like, dead calf and, like, bring it back to life in the barn.
I also think her house is just so skull and...
You think it's so Day of the Dead and...
No, less Day of Dead. I think it's just more Western and just like so many antlers.
Oh, you mean like animal skull?
Yeah, I think okay. it's animal skull and
yeah.
Raw coffee tables and dining room tables, jagged, raw pieces
of
wood.
Of jagged, raw wood. Okay, I see that. So you think there's nothing. I mean, I'm like, obviously, we're really sort of hitting a wall with our concept of Alaskan design and culture.
I think she's gone much more Western. I think it's Navajo.
It's just, yeah.
Well, I mean, Alaskan is very Native American.
That's
or,
true.
Sorry, Indigenous?
Yeah. It's First Nations peoples.
Yeah.
It's Indian. It's
so I think she's getting
Inuit.
Yes. Getting a lot of fabrics. Pendleton Navajo blankets.
Yeah.
With
that, but that's also
reclaimed raw wood.
I could see her having like one hanging carved wooden like Inuit sculpture, whatever, that she like got from her town. And she's just like, oh, this is like a really beautiful sculpture. And just like the native people like
for
really
sure.
love this. And she has this one piece. But it's not. I don't think she's being so Alaskan stuff.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think she's gone, because she's gotten a little more country and Western. I think it is more horns and skull and Pendleton than so Alaskan.
Yeah.
Like, I've been watching a lot lately.
And, like, she doesn't have, like, fishing.
Oh, well, I was going to say, is there one ice fishing spear? I mean, we're old, so we're just being like, what is Alaska? So, did she come from ice fishing eel? I keep on saying eel. And is
yeah.
that what they're fishing out there?
I want to say no, but I like that eel is really occupying such a prominent space in your mind.
Because I want to say I watched like one thing on the Travel Channel where it was like that guy Andrew Zimmerman or whatever, who's like kind of a like more intellectual fiery.
Okay.
And
so like an Anthony Bourdain.
But he's still fat, so
okay.
he's like, he's being a little more like, yeah, come with me. And he was like at this big old eel cookout
oh.
in Alaska.
Okay, well, then there's a little rhyme to your reason.
Yeah, that's where I get the eel stuff from.
Wait, remember that show, that Alaska show we watched with the lesbian who was just like
yes,
plowing?
I filmed that for you like in a hotel, I think.
Yeah.
And it was about this lesbian who was like, plowing a snow perimeter for something.
She's like, gotta get my perimeter in gear.
And it was like, it's gonna take 2 days for me to build this perimeter.
I do love all Alaska reality shows because
well,
nothing happens, but
my favorite,
it's always live or die.
My favorite reality show of all, this was very like pre-Top Model, pre-Bachelor, called Bachelorettes in Alaska. And
all
it was
right.
about women who couldn't find men in kind of the regular, you know, more stateside. And because, you know, the ratio of men to women in Alaska is like insane. It's like 10 to 80.
Wait, damn, I'm moving to Alaska.
Yeah. So it was like, but all these women going to Alaska to meet all these hot Alaskan men because there's so many men out there.
Okay. Yeah.
It was on Fox one season, probably in like 2000.
This
amazing
is very
show.
That trend of like women who go on trips to Italy to like meet Italian men because Italian men are so horny.
Or women who move to Denver, a.k.a. Menver.
Not Menver. Wait, because it's so just like weed startup there.
Yeah, and again,
everyone's
I think
a hiking aficionado.
The ratio is insane there. I think there's much more.
Because I always think of Denver as somewhere you move once you're already in a heterosexual relationship.
You would think. But it's a good place to go hunt for men.
Okay, wait. This poem, though, this poem is so me.
So me?
Love poem. We made love last night beneath the stars. Mm. The moon's cycloptic eye unblinking, staring us down, uncovering our bodies of the darkness like naked roots. We tangled ourselves, thighs and elbows, heavy fruit. Shiny as winter chestnuts. Body of the man I love. Bitten mouth, tangerine lips, rose petal surprise of tongue. I could wander the continent of your golden valleys without ceasing and delight each day in discovering a new dawn rising from the depths of your mysterious being.
Mm. That poem, I died, and I did think of you when I was reading that. When the way she also says, sorry, poetry isn't easy. When she says the moon with the cycloptic eye.
Well, I mean, yeah, the moon is just one circle, so it's not going to be two eyes.
Sometimes I see two eyes.
But this is so me because I did.
I feel like it's so you because, like, anytime you have sex, you're just being.
Well,
like,
and I told you that I did fuck that guy on his roof last week.
No.
And I did do my trick that, like, I tried to
oh
do.
Oh, my God, no. You did the Milky Way thing. You're literally the cheesiest bitch, like, on the face of the earth. One, just being like, yeah, I bought a bike from a junkie in Amsterdam. And then, like, with a guy on a roof just being like, yeah, that's, you see that? That's Milky Way. See it go to Orion's belt. It's kind of your version. You're being you Orion's behind belt. A girl with a pool cue.
Yeah, I mean, that is my version of that. And Orion's belt's a winter constellation, so you wouldn't see it in the summer.
No, I mean, I don't know constellations. Honestly, I yes and when people point at constellations sometimes to me.
Or you
because,
just say that you see it.
Because I don't need to get into it because if they're like, don't you see it? There's Orion's belt. And if you don't say yes.
Right.
They're not going to stop until you see it. And it's like, I'm actually bored by this. Like, I'm just going to cut this off now and say, oh, my God, yeah, I mean, see
that's
it.
That's pretty wise. And you're right. And we won't. We literally won't. Us astronomy-pilled folk, like, are actually insane. We'll be like, no, you need to see the swan. And it's just like, Well, it's completely random and made up anyway.
Right. So.
So that's wise. But yeah, I mean, obviously he wasn't even that into it, but.
I feel like you answered your Who Am I in the book, because that was kind of
I'm that poem. Yeah.
And I...
Well, are you like Lily's lover or whatever?
Well, there's actually another poem that I think is me, and just give me truly 1 second. Oh, here, I found it. It's called Sausages. It's short. Okay, I'll preface it. It's so me because I'm a total people watcher.
This book is very people watching.
Yeah. While leaving the airport, a gypsy woman stole my luggage. A side note, problematic. She wore a rice paper mask over her eyes. A mole showed neatly on her chin, hairless. She laughed while sausages fell from her pockets in heavy shivers. I hope she misses them sorely.
You definitely would miss your sausage.
Yeah,
if it fell out of your bag.
I'm gypsy woman because it's like I would miss them, but I also would be like laughing hysterically if I was at an airport and sausages were falling out.
Oh no,
my
you
pockets.
Would definitely laugh. You would see that this was ridiculous.
Totally ridiculous.
Okay, well, I give this book, I would say 4 out of 5 salmons. I mean, it's really easy to just flip through. Poetry is fun. It's a you know what's fun to do? Read poetry to your lover.
And it's yeah, it just sink her teeth right in.
You know, I remember my mother told me she was on a date once in Newburyport, Massachusetts. And
with that Mexican guy?
Yes. Jewish Mexican, which was like her favorite type. And they just read Pablo Neruda poems to each other, which is Pablo Neruda is one of Jules' favorite poets. Wow. She says in the preface. Yes, I read the preface.
The way you keep pronouncing it, preface, is really...
Oh, it's preface.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, excuse me.
Mr. Study Abroad. I know a couple of languages.
Oh, fucking Margaret Thatcher over here thinks she's queen of English language.
William fucking Shakespeare. Pre-fucking face, okay?
I got your preface and I got your post-face. Anyway,
poetry is meant to be shared. It's meant to be read to each other.
Yes, it's meant to be lived out loud and spoken with the tongues, the same tongues that we lick our lovers with.
Read a poem to your lover, then kiss your lover, yet your tongues intertwine like the words that were constructed together to
inhale
form a poem.
Inhale the words in the poem the same way you inhale the scent from her. Oops, I just went there places. Anyway, yeah, read Jules' book. Next week, we shall be reading none other than famous lesbian talk show host
Rosie O'Donnell. Picture me throwing a couche right now.
Her book is called Finding Me?
Finding Me. It's not what you think, and that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Okay. It's definitely not what you're expecting, so buckle the fuck up, bitch.
Expect the unexpected.
Hyatt, a new adventure awaits.
So, yeah, rate us, the works, at CBC The Pod.
Do the whole thing. Thank you for all your incredible reviews.
We're actually rocking.
We're rocking now. They decided not to cancel us based on everything you said. So.
I know everyone was a little bit worried, but glad
we scared you. Glad we scared you because the campaign worked. And that's
amazing campaign. And that's branding.
And that's branding. And also that's love. You know what I mean? You have to terrify your partner into thinking that you might leave them for them to show affection, apparently.
No, it's true. I feel like we did such like an insane girl move where we like got mad to like make sure our boyfriends like really like us.
But they do, and like it feels amazing.
It feels really good.
It feels really good to know.
Like I'm really touched.
No, it's really beautiful, and I'm not the kind of person who gets emotional, but
my walls are down. For the first time ever. Okay, see you next week.
Best.
Celebrity Book Club is presented by Prologue Projects and HeadGum.
The show is produced by Meg Murnane with editorial support from Leon Nafa,
Andrew Parsons, and Madeline Kaplan. Our production manager is Persia Verlin.
Engineering by Ferris Monchi. How I wish you would have called me back.
Original theme song by Stephen Phillips Horst, written in 1971.
Artwork by Teddy Blanks at Chips NY. I can still taste the scent of your skin on my lips.
I beg you, follow us on Twitter at CBC The Pod. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Leave us a review with pen or paper or email or whatever instrument feels comfortable for you.
And I beg, don't forget to tell your friends about us.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa. And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.